from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the Chinese are developing a new coronavirus, an update on the budget battle, and the media's hatred of Christians comes to the fore. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. As the World Economic Forum is meeting in Davos, the World Health Organization is announcing a new coronavirus on the horizon. Why is the coronavirus still being experimented with, and how is the WEF involved? Joining Tony Perkins on Wednesday to talk about it was Dr. Robert Malone, Chief Medical and Regulatory Officer for the Unity Project. Here's Tony Perkins.
Dr. Malone, welcome back to the program.
Thanks a lot, Tony. I concur. This is alarming, and they seem to have learned nothing.
Is the United States involved in this?
Well, we do know that the United States provides funding through a variety of different sources to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So indirectly, that's got to be the truth. Is it directly involved? This is too early to tell. And I don't think that's disclosed in the manuscript that you're citing.
Right.
But there's no question that our fingers are all over the Wuhan Institute of Virology and the research going on there, and particularly the coronavirus research.
Okay, I want to ask this question. Why would we be doing these types of research, especially given what happened with COVID-19?
Tony, I have to speculate because I can't get into the minds of the people that are doing this. That's kind of rule number one. But there is an ethic that if things can be done, they should be done, that is rampant in this research environment, in this research culture. That these scientists often believe that they're the best and the brightest, and they're entitled to do this. Now, beyond that, there is this contrived logic that this dual function research is what it's technically called, because it can be used for weapon purposes or for research and discovery purposes. The belief is that if scientists can meddle about with these viruses and demonstrate ways that they can become more lethal, then they can anticipate that happening in nature. That's the justification. But clearly what we've learned over the last 4 years is that that's not sufficient to justify the risk to the global population.
I would think that at some place ethics would come into this when you, I mean, what you just laid out. I mean, maybe we can do it. Maybe there might be a remote chance that we want to get ahead of this. But when you weigh the risk with this and the fact that people will die if it leaks, like many suspected did last time, where are the ethical considerations?
Well, thanks for saying that. And this is what I originally highlighted when I kind of came out of the closet metaphorically on the COVID crisis, is the gross ethical failures that were ongoing. And of course, we're here on a broadcast that's very focused on the role of religion, theology, and its importance in the world in guiding our ethical decisions. I argue that this really has to be revisited in a major way. We need to have the biowarfare treaty renegotiated. And there, I argue that there needs to be a global ban on this type of research and development activity. It's clearly not safe. And those that are performing it clearly have few, if any, ethical boundaries. This is a gross failure of education, but we're talking about the CCP. So their ideas of what is justified are not aligned, let's say, with classical Western thought.
But we as Americans, through our government, should be nowhere in the neighborhood. I mean, but by being a part of what they're doing, we're funding it. And so indirectly, we bear responsibility as a nation.
Funding, and we've provided technology transfer to there through EcoHealth Alliance. Tony, I concur. This is deeply troubling. And as I've observed before, and as have many others, we're in a post-truth environment. Mm-hmm. And we seem to also be in a post-ethical environment for a large segment of our government. It's driven by other considerations, real politic, Henry Kissinger's world, rather than the logic of the United States as the shining city on the hill and the ethical beacon for the world. We seem to have just abdicated that role.
Do Americans need to be concerned about the revelation of this research? I mean, beyond what we're talking about from a very practical election impacting, life impacting, could we see a revisit of what we saw with COVID-19?
Well, this gets into this issue of disease X, which is a major focus right now, in addition to, quote, rebuilding trust at the World Economic Forum. And disease X is repeatedly broadcast through corporate media over the last few days as 20 times more lethal than COVID-19. How they came up with that number, I have no idea, for a theoretical disease. But it absolutely, the logic here is being used to justify a major revision of power, increase in power and funding for the World Health Organization, the international health regulations, the new pandemic treaty. All this is coming to a head.
Yeah.
As we're rushing into both American and European elections.
Dr. Malone, we're up against a break, but it almost is if the WHO working in concert with the CCP, and I'm not...
And the web.
I mean, it's like
absolutely.
They've got a hand grenade with their finger on the pin saying, yeah, approve this treaty, because this is out there.
This is pretty in your face.
Yeah.
You may enjoy the essay we just put out today that blows open through a peer-reviewed article.
Well, we're going to have to revisit that, Dr. Malone, because we're up against a break. But thanks so much for joining us. Always great to see you.
You can find out more about Dr. Malone when you visit us at tonyperkins.com. Again, that's tonyperkins.com.
Most of us have wrestled with deep questions about the meaning of life at one time or another. Thankfully, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview's latest publication, titled An Introduction to Worldview, provides the answers. With this new resource, we invite you, your family, and your church to evaluate what makes up a worldview and to see how a biblical worldview provides the most satisfying answers to life's biggest questions. To read the full publication, visit frc.org/worldview. Again, that's frc.org/worldview.
On Thursday of this week, with a snowstorm barreling down on the Capitol, the House passed a short-term spending bill and avoided a government shutdown. This has made some conservatives mad, but is it as bad of a move as they're making it sound? Joining Tony to talk about it was Representative Kevin Hern of Oklahoma. Here's Tony Perkins.
Congressman, welcome back to the program. Good to see you.
Tony, it's great to be with you.
All right, so this is another CR. That's continuing resolution, short-term spending bill. This gets us to the first part of March. What's in this?
Well, certainly continued to spend at the previous levels. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, policy riders that are all the things that we hate as conservatives, you know, the DEI issues, the abortion travel issues, all these things are in these continuing resolutions. That's why it's so important that we actually get our appropriation bills done in order. Ever since I've been here for almost 6 years, we've talked about regular order. I'm sure you've talked with member after member that said that.
Almost 20 years I've been talking about that.
Well, if you look at Speaker Johnson, and I know we love football and you guys love LSU football. Well, you know, we get this. And so the analogy I like to use is that, you know, Speaker Johnson was brought in at the 2-minute warning, and not in the first half, but in the second half, and asked to win the game, or at least keep it continued. So, you know, we're in overtime. We tied the game. We're in overtime. We're continuing. But we want to win the game. And winning the game is really getting our budget done on time or early, and getting the appropriation cycle back on time or early. And do that with the leverage that we don't go home until we do. The American people are sick and tired of these continuing resolutions.
I would agree. So March has to be a red line because we had a CR before Christmas, which I supported because I've seen those omnibus that have come out of those Christmas, backdrop where we've had Congress's back up to the Christmas break. But here's another one. We're continuing kicking the can down the road to March. The House has passed 7 of the 12 appropriations bills. You've got 5 more to go, but the Senate has to act.
Yeah, I think people forget, all attention's on the House because we do have the power of the purse. But, we know that, we worked, fervently all through the last year, got 7 appropriation bills passed out of the House, that represented some 81% of government spending. That was under Speaker McCarthy's leadership. And, we also negotiated H.R. 1, which is our energy policy, H.R. 2, our border policy. And that H.R. 2, that border policy, is front and center right now with Senator Lankford working on border policy on the Senate side. But we've now got to come together, work with our Democrat colleagues on the appropriation bills and get those done between March 1st and March 8th. And it's going to change. We're going to change our schedule. We're going to have to get back here and do our part to work that week that we were supposed to be back in our districts, the last week of February. We've got to get back up here and work. And we got to make sure we get the appropriations done on time before the next CR hit.
And then secondly is make sure the Senate does their part. Because if the House goes through this process and the Senate doesn't, I don't think the House should accept another continuing resolution.
Well, that's where I'm at. I've been opposed to them just because I think, it's irresponsible. And that's my take on it, irresponsible. I came here being a fiscal conservative under the guidance, and the person that got me involved in politics was Senator Tom Coburn, mm-hmm. House Congressman.
And he used
Tom
to track all the wasteful spending. I remember his waste book that he would keep up with all of the frivolous spending that the government was involved in. And it was a thick book.
Well, and I think part of the problem is we don't follow our own laws. I mean, the 1974 Budget Control Act, there's a lot of conversation about we should change it. Well, we shouldn't change something that we're not actually even trying to do. The only thing that prevents us from hitting those deadlines is us. And so, that's my concern as we continue to kick this can down the road, is that we're now, for the American people, we're halfway through the 2024 budget season, and we're just now doing the appropriations process. We need to get our appropriators working on 25, not still working on 6 months left of 24.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, if we get this done in March, will we have time to meet the deadlines for next year?
Well, certainly, as chair of the Republican Study Committee, we're pushing on the budget. Constitutionally, we're supposed to have our budget done by April 15th. We're going to have the RSC budget done by March 15th. And the reason we can do this efficiently, effectively, and early or on time is because we do them year after year.
Right.
That's the problem with Congress. We don't have any muscle memory of actually doing these. If we actually did these budgets on time and the appropriations on time, we would have the muscle memory and the ability to do it.
Excellent point. It's been so long since it's been done. People don't remember how to do it because so many people here have never seen that process work as it should, as you pointed out. Congressman Kevin Hurd, always great to see you. Thanks so much for giving us an update.
Thanks, Tony. Safe travels.
All right. Congressman Kevin Hurd of Oklahoma. We really do. We've got to get back to the way government should work. And it begins with fiscal responsibility. And we have not gone through the regular order in it's been over 20 years since they've gone through the entire process as they should. All right, don't go away. When we come back, all right, it's that time of year. It's election season, and so it's, according to MSNBC, Christian bashing. Dr. Ben Carson joins me next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
For 40 years, Family Research Council has been in Washington, D.C., championing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a biblical worldview. But we need your help to keep going. With your support, we can continue to equip believers to stand firm in our culture and defend biblical truth in the halls of government. Will you consider partnering with us today? To give, text the word GIVE to 67742.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, I haven't mentioned this yet in the program. We haven't talked about the border today, but it's going to continue to be an issue, and we want to make sure it is addressed. So help us out. Text the word border to 67742, border to 67742, because we want members of Congress to know that this is an important issue for you, especially as we move into this election year. And speaking of that, this election season is well underway now, with the Iowa caucuses having taken place earlier this week. And the left and their legacy media collaborators have ratcheted up their attacks on Christians who participate in the political process. Now, we've seen this before, all right? This is not new. But here's what you need to understand. These attacks are designed to silence and intimidate Christians. And as I said many times, courage breeds courage. As followers of Christ, we cannot allow these attacks to cause us to shrink back and be silent. We know what is true. We know what is right. And we need to be willing to state that. Joining me now to discuss this is a man who always stands bold for his faith. It's been an honor to work with him, especially when he was in the Trump administration as the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. He was a 2016 presidential candidate, and before that, a pioneering neurosurgeon at Johns Hopkins. He is now the founder and chairman of the American Cornerstone Institute, and he's a great friend, Dr. Ben Carson. Dr. Carson, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Tony. It's always good to be with you. And thank you for being so courageous yourself and being a patriot.
Well, it's a lot easier when I've got others that are willing to stand. And you've done that. And I've talked about this before. You could have easily left the scene after the Trump administration ended. But you've stepped up and you've started your own organization that's helping teach children about America, instilling patriotic values. And you're out there talking, and as a result, you're being attacked by the media. I want to play a clip from Joe Scarborough from Morning Joe and his attack on you, and I want to allow you to respond to that. Play the clip from Joe Scarborough.
And he's got Ben Carson out there, you know, comparing him to the second coming of Jesus, too. Like, it just, do we have that Ben Carson thing?
Oh, my gosh.
Where it just...
The biblical King David.
Compared him to King David, a man after God's own heart.
All right, Dr. Carson, what do you say?
Well, talk about distortion and lies. First of all, I never compared him to King David. I said, if many of the people who hate and criticize Trump today had been alive at the time of King David, they would have said the same kinds of things about him because of some of the things that he was involved in. But God can use all kinds of different people for different occasions. And that was the context in which it was said, and never said anything about the second coming of Christ or any of these things.
I know that
they just take that and distort it.
That's one they want to throw in. I've heard that several times, and I've not heard anybody talking about that. But it is the distortion, but this is the leftist media. And you talk about disinformation. I mean, this is the ones who want a corner on the market when it comes to telling the American people what's going on.
Well, also, bear in mind, when you're talking about Marxism, and a lot of their policies and their ideology stems from Marxism, the last thing that the Marxists want is any other source of dependency or comfort than themselves. And therefore, anything that references God, particularly as a savior, is anathema to them.
Right.
And they will continue to attack it. And you'll see the attacks ramping up viciously as the election approaches.
I think... that is a large part of it. I also think that the more they talk, the more we realize there's a total lack of biblical knowledge when we see what the media has to say and their interpretation of Christianity. But here's the bottom line, Dr. Carson, and again, you're exhibit A of this. If you're going to step into the arena and you're going to encourage Christians to engage and to allow their faith to guide their vote, you just need to be prepared that the legacy media is going to come after you.
There's no question that they will. The way I kind of look at it, how long can they attack you and what can they do against the backdrop of eternity? So it doesn't really worry me too much. I just need to make sure that I'm in the good graces of God. I don't care too much about whether I'm in the good graces of those who oppose God and God's agenda.
Right, and that's...
And courage is something that's so important to liberty, because you cannot be the land of the free if you're not the home of the brave.
Absolutely. And that's where I think as Christians, number one, Jesus warned us that this was going to happen. He told us that when we came toward the end, there were going to be those that hated us because they hated him. And exactly. There was going to be a lot of deception out there. And we needed to follow his teaching, follow the word, be in the word, understand the word, and be bold in standing up for it. I want to play another clip. This clip is from Vice President Kamala Harris, who was on The View talking about the upcoming election and the crazies, all right? Play the clip of Kamala Harris.
It's unfortunate that that there are some who would deny fact or overlook it, when, in fact, moving toward progress requires that we speak truth.
I do believe we need to speak truth, but I'm not quite sure we're getting it from the Biden administration.
Well, one thing I've noticed about that administration is whatever they accuse you of is what they're doing. Projectionism, completely. And you talk about not telling the truth. To sit there and say, until very recently, that there's no problem at the border. We have complete control of that. And when it reached the point where people were being sent from Texas and Arizona and other border states to New York and to Chicago and to various places, and you couldn't no longer deny that there was a problem, that it was facing everybody, that's the only way you ever get them to admit that there was anything going on.
Right, right. But see, they have the media, and this is what folks need to understand, is the media is complicit with them. And so they're able to get away with these things, where the media during the Trump administration manufactured I'll be a little generous. They twisted things to make things appear that were not, as opposed to what they're doing with the Biden administration, are actually refusing to cover things just so it's covered up.
Well, you know, I was a victim of that when they said that I purchased a $31,000 dining room table while trying to cut the budget for poor people. And of course, I never did purchase a $31,000 table. The whole dining room suit, which was 17 pieces, cost $31,000. That's a big difference. One table was for 17 pieces, which we never bought because, you know, my wife in particular was upset about the prices of things. And she says, I know some wonderful consignment shops where you could get some quality stuff for a fraction of this cost. But the whole thing incited an IG investigation, Inspector General investigation, that cost more than $1 million of taxpayer money over a $31,000 supposed table that was never bought.
That didn't exist. But the media fueled that. The media fueled that because it was a narrative that they wanted to talk about. But when you talk about real policy issues, like what's happening at the border, it's if it were not for conservative media outlets, it's just total crickets among the leftist media.
But I am actually encouraged by what I'm seeing with so many people not buying into the attempt by the left to use the Department of Justice to eliminate their political opponent.
Yeah.
Because if we allow them to succeed, America will never be the same again.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. So, Dr. Carson, you had a front row seat. You were a part of the cabinet of the last administration under the, in the Trump administration. You were there from the start. If let's just say that we were still in the second term of a Trump administration, do you think the world would be as it is today?
No, I don't think any of the things that I just talked about would be going on. In addition to that, we would have continued developing our energy resources, and we would be exporting large amounts of liquid natural gas to Europe and other parts of the world, not only supplying their needs, but helping to decrease our budget deficits. And I think we certainly wouldn't be entertaining all of this craziness that's going on in our school system, teaching children. I mean, I just feel bad for little kids today. The stuff that they're being exposed to, it was never meant to be.
Right.
And some of the books that we expose them to have things in them that would embarrass an adult looking
right.
at.
So, Dr. Carson, we just have about a minute and a half left. As we move into this in earnest, the 2024 election cycle, as you know, we've talked about a number of issues here, but what are the top three issues that you say we have to get it right? We just have to get it right.
Well, we clearly are going to have to deal with the southern border, with, you know, just an open border with all kinds of people coming in, including terrorists. And if the terrorists aren't coming here and planning something really bad, then they're guilty of terrorist malpractice. That's big. That's a big one. And then the economy. We need to go back and understand what the underlying things are. You know, a lot of the economists like to say economy is just cyclical, sort of like a sine wave up and down. It doesn't have anything to do with what's going on. That's not true. It has to do with the fact that sometimes we have people in office who know what they're doing and understand the economy, and sometimes we don't. And so we need to deal with that. And then we need to bring back faith.
Yeah.
We need to bring God back into our society.
You are 100% correct. Dr. Ben Carson, we're out of time for today, but as always, great to see you, and thanks so much for joining us.
You too. Thank you, Tom.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us, and I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.